Wait till you learn about the new technology that's helping the blind and visually impaired community. We have the Inspiration Foundation Executive Director, Jeremy Grandstaff, to tell us all about it today on Driven by Purpose.
This is Driven by Purpose, a show about finding your purpose, building fulfilling careers, and helping people with disabilities live better lives. Hosted by three men who've lived it and are here to help you do the same. Special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Clean Logic, a leading bath and skincare company and a true pioneer in creating inclusive workplaces and increasing employment opportunities for people with disabilities.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Driven by Purpose. I am very excited. You can tell by the energy in my voice. My name is Evan Rosenblum, along with the co-founder of Clean Logic and the Inspiration Foundation, Isaac Shapiro. What's up, Isaac?
Evan, hello, hello.
And special guest, the executive director of the Inspiration Foundation, Jeremy Grandstaff, is here today with a very specific purpose. Jeremy, what's going on?
How you doing? It's good to be back. I'm so excited to be reconnecting with you and hanging out with you guys.
Well, I've got a lot to ask you about today because next week is the winners will be announced. The Inspiration Foundation Tech Grant winners will be announced. And this
That's
is
right.
a big deal because right. what the Inspiration Foundation Tech Grant Awards are essentially is you're going to be highlighting and spotlighting some of the organizations that are providing like the essentially the leaders in technology that serve the visually impaired community. So we're talking about the cutting edge of technology that are serving like the visually impaired population. This is like the future. This is the people that are like really providing the best of the best when it comes to that stuff for people who need it.
Evan, I think you're absolutely right. And what I actually think back to is when I was 10 years old, or maybe even 9, and we started to think about this concept that I wanted to move my education from the state blind school in Ohio, and I wanted to come up to be mainstreamed with everybody else, right? So I wanted to be part of Highland High School,
right,
where I grew up and where all of my friends were. And it became very clear to me at that day that my best chance of being able to make that type of a transition was to have the technology that I need. Let's put that in context, my friend. That was 35 years ago.
What was like the cutting edge best technology for a visually impaired person?
I was just,
oh my God,
you and I are so melded together right now because I was just going to go there. I got an Apple IIe. That's how far back we're talking.
Yeah. Right?
So it was Apple IIe. It had, this is going to rock your world, had this program developed by Doug Geoffreys. And so he developed two programs. One was called WordTalk, and that was how you would type a paper. And one was called FileTalk. And that was like for those who wanted to do like databases of stuff, right? It was all driven by the keyboard. There was no mouse. And what made it even better is like, in order to start Word Talk, you had to start it with two, I'm not joking, 5 1/4 floppy inch disks.
If you don't mind me asking, Jeremy, not to put your age out there, but I think the reason why
1988.
No. Just to put it into context here, Isaac, 1988 was the year when like the Oregon Trail was the big game in elementary
schools. We had the Oregon Trail. We totally had the Oregon Trail.
Did you guys get your food receipts to get Apple computers in your classroom and all that stuff? Yeah. So
I have no idea. I mean, I was 10.
Right.
Right. So I'm going to assume that they did. I will say the Apple IIe back then was the only way that we could access stuff.
Yeah.
There was no JAWS.
Yeah.
Back then. And I don't want to speak on behalf of Freedom Scientific. Maybe there was an earlier version and I didn't know. Right. So, okay. So that's 1988. Now let's jump ahead. It's 1994. You guys in the sighted world have been using Windows 3.1. I didn't even know what that was. I will say, by the way, when I was a kid, I used to do duck hunt games with my friends. And I realized very quickly that if you take the gun from duck hunt and you put it on the screen, it will always shoot the duck down.
Yeah, it's true.
And my friends didn't get this. I made $100 that day.
Yeah, that's great.
Right? Because I was like, oh, I'm gonna shoot your duck down.
Yeah, you're out.
Right? They're like, there's no way, you're a blind guy. And I bet them and I won the money.
Yeah, anyway, you got smarter than the system.
Yeah.
So we jump ahead to 94. I'm getting ready to go to school, right? And to go to college. And they had just launched Windows 95.
Okay.
And so the first time in my life, I could have two applications open at one time.
Mm, big deal.
Right? And I could copy and paste from stuff. Mm. We didn't quite have the internet then. We still had Pine email, if you remember those, right?
AOL.
Basically, email was kids that were going to school, right? AOL hadn't even started yet. That was like 2 years later.
Wow.
So I knew at a very young age that my job would be to much better and I would be much more employable if I understood technology and I could get it to work for me. And a lot of the grant applications that we have read and scored this year, and I'm not going to give the winners away, but I will say we're giving away a minimum of $70,000 this year in grants.
Wow.
That's amazing. Now, Evan, you and I are going to talk about how to get some of your friends involved in this, but
okay,
we are going to raise that number by a minimum of $400,000 in 5 years.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah,
and so,
sure.
And I'll talk a little bit more about the expansion of that program, but most of the applicants that we got this year had asked for things that 35 years ago, they would have been something out of 1984, book 1984, right? So, you know, the Meta glasses, right? I'm not promoting Meta, buy the glasses that you want, but yeah, got them right here on the desk. I'm afraid to show them to you because I haven't cleaned them in a day. Apparently, though, I've learned that most of you with glasses don't clean your glasses either, so I don't feel so bad.
Okay.
Right? But the Meta glasses,
can I just stop on those Meta. Because I think the last 2 years I've been seeing Meta iPhone and I'm like, why are these Meta glasses coming up? But to see Jeremy in action, Bentonville Airport, he's walking down by himself and I'm like in the lounge because we had different rides and different time and I'm at the lounge of someone that attended our Dining in the Dark event and they're like, oh, there's Jeremy. Like, oh, let me see if he needs help. And I go, Jeremy, like, hey, do you need any? He's got the Meta glasses. Like, no, I'm just fine. I'm going to A6 and I know where to go and I got the glasses. So it is amazing to see, you know, what the evolution is.
Okay, wait. All right. Because a person who hasn't seen a visually impaired person wear the Meta glasses, like, walk me through, how does it actually work for you?
Okay. So there's, and this would be so much more fun if we're in person.
Yeah.
By the way. So I could put the Meta glasses on. I could look at you and I could say, hey, Meta, describe the person in front of me.
And it would say.
And it would literally like, you know.
Am I going to like the description?
That's right. It's not going to give, you know, like I can ask it follow-up questions. If I say, you know, does he look old? I'm not allowed to comment on the appearance of people, right? But it will say he's got this t-shirt on and it says this and it appears to be, and that's, and the language is very cautious there. It appears to be a man with blah, 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 right? So that's one way. Now, what Isaac was saying, companies like Be My Eyes or Ira are interfacing their services through the glasses. So in this particular case, and I really want to talk about this because there's a flip side of this story, Isaac, that you never actually saw that day. So what I can do is I can be talking to somebody on my glasses and they will actually be able to see what I see through the glasses. And so then they can be like, well, you know, look up to your left. Okay, yes,
whoa,
I see a sign up there that says blah, blah, blah. Now, let's look at the flip side. When I transferred, I think I was in New York, maybe. I can't even remember where I
was. You're going to Washington. I got one of those memories.
Was it? Yeah, okay.
You're going to Washington.
Yes. I had to go through Denver. So I'm walking through Denver And you have to understand, I'm really focused on the person that I'm talking to in my glasses. So I kept hearing around me, I would hear someone be like, sir, sir. But I didn't get they were talking to me because I'm talking to the person on my glasses.
Right.
Next thing I know, I've got security guards who are stopping me. And they're like, sir, why have you been talking to yourself the whole time that you've been walking? Is everything okay? Are you experiencing
They had no idea that
I could hear through the glasses.
Oh, man.
And that I was talking to somebody.
Interesting.
And I showed them, you know, this is what's happening. And of course, they're like, oh, and they look at the other guy and they're like, why are you freaking out? He's fine.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that there is all of this new technology that's happening. We're seeing it come out in the grant requests and what people are asking for. But I want to be really clear. It's not, you know, hey, we want to purchase all this technology and give it to students. It's this is how the technology is going to boost our ability to get students educated on the things that they need to be educated on so that when they go into the workforce, they're able to tap into the power of their own technology, right? So like, for example, if Fred sends me a picture and he's like, what would you think about using this on social media? I can literally run that through AI and get a copy of a read out copy of what that picture looks like and make an initial assessment of, okay, is this something we should talk about or not? Right. So it's how we use this technology that's really going to transcend barriers for us as blind people or people with disabilities to be taken seriously, that we can achieve the things that we say we can. And that right there is where the technology grants comes into play.
Wow. Well, and I would like to just add a little bit from the history, a little bit of, you know, the whole start of the foundation. It goes back to since we had my mom be on the show, and it's what she talked about, you know, in the 70s, she was using computers that only the US military had. And the computers were the size of rooms. And she was getting all that technology in advance in the 70s that we're talking about. And then to see her evolve and build where it's at. And then Jeremy, just to hear where it's really going, is just so amazing to see the evolution and why it's so important to do these tech grants. And we've been dedicated. It's not a lot of money we do each year. We continue to grow it each year, but we continue to see the importance of it. And that's why I'm so excited with Jeremy. And it was really, you know, we had a really broad selection of great candidates, over 15 candidates that we interviewed. And what it just was so important for me was talking to Jeremy and him outside of all the many things that he had in nonprofit work and understanding how to collaborate and talking about the three-legged stool with government and business, talking about that, it was really his lived experience. Because to me, the legacy of the foundation, and we had an earlier person on an episode that came on and we talked about, you have that purpose, and that whole purpose and why for the foundation is my mom's dedication to technology and adapt to technology for people with disabilities. But I think as we evolve and why we felt this show was important, we're not just doing the seal. We hope this evolves to all disabilities. So Jeremy, I want you to continue to talk a little bit about how we see this evolving, because it is amazing technology in what you're talking about and just blind and visually impaired. But as we talk about autism, you know, so maybe you could talk a little bit about what we're doing today and how you see some of the evolution, because, you know, it's not just creating jobs, it's the technology that's evening the playing field today. And it's just, Jeremy, to hear you talk about Meta Glasses to explain, I mean, you could be an influencer as a blind person and have all this data, or, you know, all the different things that today is evolving in today's workplace. So I just think it's amazing that, Jeremy, you could provide this lived experience of what accessibility is, because my mom showed me the Meta Glasses. You know, it wasn't as much. It wasn't working when she first showed it. It was at my house and she's explained the room and it's like, oh, it's not working. So that was like when they first came out. My mom's always getting the first technology. So now to see where it's even evolved today and to hear how you're doing it, I'm like, wow, that is just impressive, because you have Ira and that piece. That's another component that I didn't even know was happening with Meta Glasses. So take it from there, Jeremy.
Well, and I think this is something that we talk about a lot in the blind community, right? The Meta glasses work great until I don't have an internet connection. Right?
Yeah.
Because it's AI.
Right.
Right?
That's where you get and your Starlink. So, that's where you get a Starlink.
We'll see if we can get that in the budget.
Yeah, right.
I think, so to give you an idea, there's a program that Microsoft created called Seeing AI. I use that for reading. I use a combination of Aira, Be My Eyes, and Meta glasses for pictures and room setup, other things like that, right? When I'm taking video and pictures and I'm actually doing it from the room, and some of our stuff that we post on our feeds is me taking video, it's with the Meta glasses, which means I'm getting a much more centered understanding of what I'm taking a picture of. Right. And to the point where my mom literally said to me, I'd like to tell you, I'm really excited that you finally are taking pictures and they're coming out normal. I'd like to see that. Right.
Well, just even the fact that you're doing that, Jeremy, like, I don't think my mom had that like piece. So like when you took a picture, you're like, hey, I want to get a picture of us at the Diane Darko's, Michael and I.
That's right.
I was like, wow, like Jeremy's taking a picture. I'm like, mom, you got to start using those Meta glasses to take pictures. Because it is amazing.
Yeah.
Well, it's amazing to see what it's creating in terms of independence.
I took some pictures at the Disability Innovation Forum that I went to. And the lady who runs it actually was like, I'll just have you do our pictures and video next year. I said, no, I'm not doing that. But, you know, I think this program, really thinking about Isaac and B and Mike and what they came together to start 20 years ago. There's a bigger focus right now on blind and low vision, and some people ask why. And this is actually top of mind, so I'm just going to put it out there very fresh. In the blind community, because we have what's called a seeing disability, we are underestimated as are our capabilities. And so when I'm like, it used to be that when someone sent me a picture, I would have to go back to them and say, that's not accessible. Can you fix that for me? And now I can run that through AI and I can say, well, Evan, I really like the shirt you had on, but I wasn't really able to see a lot of the tie. Can you explain that to me a little bit more? So it just changed the dynamic of the conversation and how I'm able to engage in it as a blind person. I think that that is why there is such a focus from a lot of organizations that we need to focus on blind and low vision or hard of hearing. It's because the blind and low vision is something that when we walk into a room from an employment perspective, and I know we don't want to believe this, but think of the climate that we live in. There is a judgment that as a blind person, I will never be as successful, right? It's how it is. There's not a lot of great examples of how that's being used. So getting to that point, one of the things that we're going to be releasing over the next year is what I'd like to call our stellar storytelling series. So it's not just the impact reports at the end of the year, but it's actually going to some of our grant recipients and getting some video footage of how is this actually making a difference in the training of people. And then more so being able to talk about these people graduated 9 people and they were able to get 6 of them employed. Mm. And I think showcasing those stories is going to be how we change the dynamic. And this is kind of how it feeds into the SEAL, right? The SEAL, the Dining in the Dark, they really focus on corporate. But corporate is always going to come back, like Johnny Taylor said from SHRM. Last year, I have a video on my LinkedIn feed that I'll share with you, but it literally is him saying, we have to create empathy for people to understand the capabilities of people with disabilities. And more so, we have to tell the success stories because CEOs are still telling SHRM, who is their leading HR organization, right? The HR brings all the HR people together. That they can't find capable candidates.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, even if I just looked at the 18 companies that submitted grant applications, they're turning out a good 500 to 600 people total on a year, and I'm probably underestimating that.
Well, can I give some facts from last year? We, you know, had 22 applications from nonprofits, and just to give background of our audience, we've had a great partner in Vision Serve Alliance. They're a membership organization that brings all the nonprofits in the blind community that are member-based. So it is member-based. So not every single nonprofit that serves the blind community, but they have close to 150 nonprofits. And what this allows us to do is to work through a lot of the work that they do to support these organizations. And being a member, we offer these tech grants to these members, and we know that they're an organization. We go to the same conferences. I've been going there for close to 20 years, so I know a lot of these leaders who have dedicated their lives to people who have vision loss, and in some cases have never had anybody in their family have vision loss. So it's been an amazing community that I've really loved, especially the friendships that I build. And it really, I see it as an industry, because we're trying to advance the lives of individuals with vision loss to live independent lives. And so it's been really amazing to see that evolution with Vision Serve. And when we offered 8 grants last year, so we ended up offering 8, and out of the impact reports, you know, impacted over 500 people that went through those programs. And where I see Jeremy is we just got the top level. So as he said, getting into the stories, building the relationship, building long-term relationships with our winners, it's, I think, going to be the next level, because those are the stories that we can tell and be more confident. Because right now it's like, hey, we know we served over 500 based on the grants, but as Jeremy gets deeper and we build a team, we think we can do a lot of storytelling that can help us raise more money and see the importance of this is just part of the arsenal that we're building to support the SEAL and really increasing employment for individuals with disabilities by 10%.
And let me jump in for like a half second here, because
because I'm about to go to the next level. So go to the next level with me.
Yeah, I'm going to the next level with you, Jeremy.
I'm going into the next level.
No, I mean, I'm listening to what you're saying. And I mean, it's incredible how technology is helping so much for the visually disabled community. I mean, you think about the story you just told about going back 35 years and how the leaps and bounds and the advances it's made. But I get so frustrated with AI today, because I use AI a lot, and there's still so many. It's incredible how helpful it is, but it's so frustrating, all the little tweaks that it messes up sometimes, right? And don't get me wrong, it is, compared to like the little pocket lighter it used to be to the rocket ship it is now, I mean, it's amazing, but it's still frustrating when you're like trying to get, it's like not exactly 1,000,000% perfect. It's like, you still get little mistakes here and there. When you are somebody who relies on this, you know, it's guiding you, it's helping you navigate a place you haven't been, or describe a person, or all this stuff, and you're depending on it, not 100%, but you're in a new place, you're meeting a new person. How do you deal with that, Jeremy? When you're using something like a new piece of technology, like the Meta glasses or something like that, and it fails you in an important moment.
I got this picture in my head of the last time I upgraded my cell phone. Right? There's like, and if you ask my husband, Jerry, he will tell you, there is a 4-day period where he doesn't talk to me at all, because it's just not productive, right? I get mad. I want it to work the same way that the old one worked. I want it to be perfect. I don't want to have to reinstall things. Like, it's not even the reinstalling. It's like, I don't want to have to recustomize it.
Yeah.
I just want everything to work perfectly, right? And when it doesn't, and I can't figure it out, if I'm really struggling with it, then I'll be like, oh, I'm too stupid to get this. First of all, that's not a good idea, right? That does not help the situation. And so I think part of, you know, what you're talking about with technology is we have to recognize its limitations.
Yeah.
Right? So I am in Minneapolis as we are recording this. I am sitting in Minneapolis. I'm at a hotel and I wanted to go to Starbucks. I have no idea where I'm going, but I pulled up Google Maps and Google Maps says, go to this street. It doesn't actually, it says, go toward this street. It doesn't tell me which direction that is.
Right.
Right. It just says, go toward the street. So I start walking to the left. In about 10 seconds, it says, it looks like you've left the route. Go toward this street. Okay, well, apparently I'm going the wrong way.
Oh, no.
So I'm going to turn around. So to answer your question, it's one, you have to give yourself grace.
Yeah.
And what I'm about to say, by the way, works for anybody. That's the funny part.
Well, let's talk about that GPS thing. When it walks, it doesn't work well for sight of people. I'm always like, wait, as I'm going left and I got to go right. So I'm just imagining
Exactly. I have watched Jerry do the same thing, right? So first of all, you give yourself grace. It's not just because I'm blind. This is just normal. That's the first piece.
Right.
The second piece is patience.
Yeah.
Being patient, listening, observing, paying attention. Right. Like it told me to go to Starbucks. I had to go down to the street, turn left, and then go down literally 250 feet. And it was on the left. I'm like, okay. So I'm standing waiting to cross the street. And as I come out of the street on the other side, I hear this guy who is trying to share the gospel with somebody. And I walk up with my cane, completely catching him off guard. He stops talking and just stands there. So now I'm trying to navigate around this guy.
Oh, no.
That has just stopped talking.
Oh, so he becomes an obstacle.
And I don't know. Right? So I don't know. Now I can get upset at him, or I can just be like, how you doing, man? And got him to talk to me. He thinks I'm just talking to him because I'm a nice guy. Really, all I was doing was making him talk to me.
Mm.
Right. So it's about learning these little things. And this is where I think I'm going to totally talk about this from a different lens. We do our Dining in the Dark event, right?
Yep.
If after you have experienced eating your dinner for as long as you could with the blindfold on, before you take the blindfold off, the questions that I want you to think about are, what are the things that if you were trained to do them, would have made that a better experience, right? So for example, I'm working with some kids this weekend and we're teaching them about, you know, how to do a budget and how to do their career and get ready for their career. But one of the things that we're actually doing is on Friday night, we will do a pizza dinner and they will be asked, they will be told where the pizza is and what kind it is. I might even braille the things, which is more than what a sighted person usually does. And then I will say, go pick up your pizza, right? And
right.
Go get your pizza. So they have to learn how to do that. On day two, we're totally doing taco night and they have to actually make a taco. Right. And for some of them, that is going to be extremely frustrating because they're going to mess it up. Whatever. This is a place for you to learn.
Right.
That's the concept is
right.
The technology that we give away creates opportunities for people to learn. Now, I said I was going to take it up a notch. Check this out. Like Isaac said, we're giving away a minimum of 70,000. And I'm only saying it that way because I don't want to disclose the winners next week. Right.
Right.
And tell you exactly how many we are awarding, even though I know that in my head. It is that if I think about the organization and the board thinks about the organization and we think about, you know what, we're giving a minimum of $70,000 away this year to people with blind and low vision. Where is the other big impacts that we need to do? So it's like, to give you an idea, we had 18 applications. We may be only able to fund 6 or 7. God, wouldn't it be amazing if we could fund all 18?
Yes.
What kind of impact will we have then, right?
Yeah.
Now, the next people that I have been told as I've been having these conversations that are severely underjudged by their capability is people who are neurodiverse.
Yes.
I actually met with a guy who runs a training center. And he said, you know what? He said, I can help kids get an accessible iPad that will change their world and help them go to college. But I cannot do that. And the government will not help out with that unless I can prove that an accessible iPad will actually be helpful to them. So one of the things that he is considering applying for grants for when we expand the program is so that he can buy some of those iPads and be able to loan them to the kids during their training, so that now they're making a case for why the government needs to buy them something.
Wow.
And that's a requirement if you're neurodiverse.
Right.
So our goal is to not just expand the amount of grants and the number of grants that we're able to give, but it's also to expand the impact on the entire disability community. So within 5 years, we want to be giving away a minimum of $400,000 a year in technology grants.
That's amazing.
And so I'm currently meeting with partners to explore what does that look like, right? How do we make that a reality? And how do we get it funded? That's always the, you know, challenge in a foundation. So,
well, I believe in you, Jeremy. I believe in you. If there's anybody that can go out and find that money, it's you, man.
I'm just, I just want to say, and in all seriousness and humbleness, I'm really honored to be in the position that I am. And at the same time, I'm also so thankful for the leadership of the foundation board. Each of these, we just sat 6 total board members in April, and we're in the process of growing the board for larger impact and to be able to be more representative of what we're doing. But one of the things that we've been working on as a board is really looking at what's standing in the way of people becoming successful. What are those barriers? How can we come together as an organization? Maybe not necessarily solving it all, but bringing the right people together and the partners together to solve the challenge. And one of the things that I have always been frustrated with before taking this job is there are so many different organizations that are doing bits and pieces of it, and we need those organizations. But we also need the Inspiration Foundation bringing all of those partners together, getting them to collaborate with each other. And really, that's when we're going to see systematic change. And for those who are blind watching, I literally with my hands did a kind of hugging systematic change, because
if they're wearing the Meta glasses, the glasses will have told them that your hands
Glasses aren't that good. That's I love that you said that, but there, you know, and there's Echo Vision glasses, there's other glasses. One of the partners that I'm hoping I get to announce next week when we do the Tech Grant Awards, I'm trying to finalize a partnership where we will actually, they're not Meta glasses, but they're Echo, it's called Haptech. And so what that actually does is I could have a thing on my wrist, and if you smiled at what I would say, it would actually tell me you were smiling. That's a whole different thing that, and I'm going to tell you where that becomes important. Until I started watching audio description, I didn't know that if I said something that somebody didn't like, they would raise their eyebrows. I didn't know I even did it. I had no idea. And I was watching audio description of a show that I loved.
You would know if I did it. My eyebrows
are just saying, like, I had no idea, right? And I'm watching this show, and it says, the audio description was like, and Josh raised his eyebrows in disgust. And I looked at my husband and I go, oh, I don't do things like that. And he's like, oh, you do all the time, right? And so if we can teach, and I'm going to tell you where this becomes important. I was sitting in a sales meeting 4 years ago, and the guy that was leading the meeting said something I did not think was appropriate. And apparently I raised my eyebrows, which gave him the ability to see that on my face and to then put me in my place. And the whole time that he's putting in my place, I didn't even know how he knew that. And so if somebody had taught me, you know, when you're frustrated, you start, like, your eyes start darting back and forth and you're all over the place. Or if somebody really says something you don't like, you crinkle your nose up.
You got Evan here trying to test this all out right now. So
I know, right? So, but these are things that if we can train students to understand that, then when they go into meetings, they'll be able to be like, let me think about how I want to react.
Yeah, it's true.
Instead of it just happening.
I think as we, you know, get close to end here, I'd like to give a little perspective in what Jeremy was talking about. Because when I went to the American Printing House Award Program, award ceremony last year, one of the people that awarded, and actually Mark Riccobono, did I say it properly, from the CEO of NFB, accepted the award on behalf of one of the members. You probably know his name, but he's been working on technology for 50 years. He's one of the original people around AI. He's worked for everybody. And he was giving his speech on video camera about how he's basically attended every conference NFB for like the last, I think, 30, 40 years, because he said that blind people inspired him in the technology world to think differently. And he said, you're going to see technology. It continues to even the playing field, and we're going to have where you're going to be wearing it in your brain. And everybody was like, oh my God, what is this guy talking about? But when I walked out of the room, you had a side of people saying, wow, I don't want Elon Musk or, you know, Bezos trying to read what's in my brain. But you heard people with vision loss who are blind and being like, wow, that's amazing. That's going to help me navigate or do this. So it's really interesting. Yeah. And again, Siri, they say, was actually created for people with vision loss. And now you have everybody using. So I'm really am excited to see where technology, especially from what I've been learning, a lot of it is coming and inspired, you know, from the blind and visually impaired community. And it's how we see it differently, because, you know, sometimes we take it for granted in what we have when you have sight. So Jeremy, I really appreciate you continuing to drive the tech grants and taking it off my plate this year. That was very it's a big lift, you know, bringing everybody together and doing that. So again, Jeremy, continuing our work with Vision Serve and looking to already expand it to all disabilities, which I'm, you know, very excited about. So Evan, I always love you closing us out and getting us and, you know, making sure we get what we want for our audience. Please.
Yeah, well, let's wrap this up. Jeremy, I appreciate it. As always, man, appreciate having you on the show. Isaac, you're the best. Remember, if you like the show, you want to support the community, like, subscribe, comment, tell a friend, Driven by Purpose. See you next time.